from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Oh, it's good to talk to Mark Grody on a day of Bears practice, one day ahead of pads going on at Halas Hall. He's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. I should also let you know, Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Danny. And also tomorrow, fans will be here for the first time in earnest. They had a few fans here the other day with some of their corporate partnerships, and some of the high school area kids got to get in. But yeah, man, it will be chaos out here tomorrow. I don't think, I'm pretty darn sure that I might, in the 3 years that they've been doing the camp here, guys, they have not sold those free tickets out. Sold out, I guess, is the wrong word, but they were in demand. There are no free tickets available, so I am looking very forward to seeing how rambunctious the fans are out here tomorrow.
That should be an awesome atmosphere, and I know tomorrow you'll be on this show, and Coach Dave Wanstead will also be on this show. He's going to be out there soaking it up. Tell us about today and Caleb Williams against this defense. How did it go today?
Yeah, I thought it was a rough day on the overall for the offense, especially in some crucial spots, and they did a bunch of two-minute stuff throughout this practice today, and they looked okay, I thought, in the first two-minute drill, and then just kind of fizzled towards the end. It was a tough day for Caleb Williams and the offense, and we had to ask the head coach, Matt Eberflus, about that afterwards.
Yeah, I would just say, really, from my vantage point, it's harder in the red zone. You know, because things are shorter, it's condensed, and it's just harder to execute down there. You know, so windows are tighter. You know, we have to learn that those are. And again, 7-on-7 was good, but once we got the team, it was more of a fast pace. You can feel the rush. So it's just going through the process of that.
Looked like a few false start penalties, at least from what we saw. Were they false starts, and
There was a couple. Yep, there was a couple in there. Noise was up, and that's part of the process. Yep, there was a couple.
So I wonder, Mark, if this is the kind of stuff that's good for the offense to go through. That's my reaction at first blush.
You're supposed to make mistakes now, right?
Yeah, this is the time to make mistakes. Does it fall under that kind of category for you?
It does fall under that, but it does make me nervous when they stand as one day. I get it. It makes me nervous when a Bears offense struggles in the 2 minute, because we've just seen so much of that over the last 5 years or so. It seems like that's been a primary problem for the Bears, getting the ball in the end zone and scoring 6 points as opposed to settling for a field goal. So that made me a little bit nervous in regards to all of that. Also, to fill in the blanks, too, it looked like it was was Tevin Jenkins and Nate Davis that picked up the false starts. You know, you hope that this offense gets things going in that regard, and sure, there's still time to do it. But I don't know. I thought that Matt Eberflus's answer, and that was very casual and very almost like defending the offense as opposed to saying good things about the defense. And then when I asked too about the false starts, like Flus gave a very short answer about that. And it was just a couple of days ago how they were talking about how everything was clean in pre-snap. So stuff still has got to be cleaned up. I was a little surprised that Flus wasn't more alarmed by all that.
What have your overall impressions been? I know you said rough day for the offense today, but you know he talked about chunking practices, right? And then so there was the day off yesterday. Now we're into this next chunk of it. Too soon, too small of a sample, or can you say that you've seen progress from practice one to practice five or whatever this one is?
You mean specifically on the offense, Danny, or
yes,
the team
sir.
As a whole?
Yes,
yeah,
offense.
Yeah, I would say so. Absolutely. I mean, I've seen a jump from OTAs to training camp in general. I mean, just with the fact that the cadence has been good and, you know, I don't know, maybe there was a cadence issue today in terms of the false starts, but we never got that far with Matt Eberflus. So there was already a jump. Today just wasn't a particularly good day in the all. I don't think it's an overall digression for this Bears team. But, yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen improvements, and there's been enough, like I keep saying, there's been enough, like, wow moments and enough of seeing the Caleb Williams, you know, quick release and him rolling out and doing improv stuff, which was in effect today. I've seen enough of that to know that there is something really good brewing with this quarterback, which is a rough day today.
So Ryan Bates today at center?
Yeah. Yep.
Ryan Bates.
Yep, today. Ryan Bates. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, Ryan Bates back in there. So they have stayed true to this center rotation every day. They has been between him and
And I wonder if the false starts register in their minds as being on the center at all in terms of being in charge of the calls and such. So.
Yeah, no, I'm curious too. I mean, it was definitely the offensive linemen that were jumping today, but I mean that's definitely something I'd like to know more from Matt Eberflus, but he just wasn't into giving specifics on that today.
Well, you got to talk to Tyreek Stevenson, who's always an interesting quote.
Yeah, no, he's coming off a really good rookie season where he had four interceptions. And, you know, my angle with Tyreek was, you know, he had a very good training camp last year with an entirely different crew of featured wide receivers. This year, obviously, you have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and those were the two that I asked Tyreek Stevenson about. And then you hear him talk about Roma Dunze as well. Here he is.
Keenan, just the fact that you can stop mid-route, change his whole route, or just the fact that he gives you something different than what you expecting. Like he might break inside, but he's just doing that just to see on the next play how he can get you on a route that's coming to him. DJ just gonna be DJ. DJ gonna run a route and you're not gonna stop it pretty much. So
is it like a mind game almost with him?
Yeah, because just watching him practice and watching how he plays. Like even if he ain't getting the ball, he runs a whole different route or he does something different. Not even let you know that route is there. So if you come back to it or they run that same play, you go to where you thought he was last time, and it's a whole different route.
Going up against Rome, what has struck you about his ability, and what do you think he brings to this loaded group?
He's sneaky fast. Like off the line, you might not, you know, you might not realize he's closing the cushion as fast, but once he on you. So just the fact that he's able to run the whip routes, he's able to break down and run the digs, or if you let him, he'll run right by you. So just the fact that he's, you know, he can pretty much do every route on the route tree.
Man.
It's good stuff.
I think it's just so cool because we know that kid is a legit NFL corner. Led rookies in solo tackles, in passes defended, in interceptions. I mean, like, had a really solid rookie year and now knows what he's doing. He's a confident dude. And he's never seen those guys before. Like you're talking about, Groats. I feel like that's a really good indication of what it's like to try and cover the Bears trio of wide receivers.
Yeah, and you know, he had and as a matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, from the practice day, Tyreek Stevenson was hit up on a pass interference call in the end zone while covering Roma Dunze. So that, I mean, that was one thing about Tyrique Stevenson last year was penalties. You know, he had some roughing penalties. He had a decent amount of pass interference penalties. So there are areas, as good as Tyrique Stevenson looked and seems as promising as he does, there's still a big jump that Tyrique can make. But I love that, you know, all these cornerbacks get to go up against these totally legitimate wide receivers on the Bears.
We love breaking down wide receivers on this show. Danny, I remember you talking about Devontae Adams a couple years ago saying he's a guy that gets open with his feet. How about listening to Tyrique Stevenson talk about Keenan Allen, man, as a magician? And like, one route, you think you know where he is, and he's then somewhere else?
I mean, similar guy, right? Like Cooper Kupp, I would say, is a guy like that. Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, just like excellent footwork. They're not the best athletes at a crazy athletic position, right? But they're not DK Metcalf. They're not Jamar Chase. They're not guys like that that get open with pure athleticism. Tyreek Hill. But crazy, deceptive, good footwork tacticians, right? They know everything about the position.
And that's how you know those guys are going to be open on certain routes.
Yeah, and deceptively fast for Odunze is also a good one to hear, because he's a big boy. So he's fast, too. That's good.
I love hearing, too, and we've heard this a lot about Keenan Allen, just the mental game, the smart football game that he plays. Like, don't try to predict him. If he does one thing on one play, don't expect him to show that on the next play. So it's really fun. Dare I say him crafty. I don't know if football players like being called crafty, but that's kind of what Keenan Allen looks like out on the field.
Yeah, I mean, once you get to be his age, right, which is old in football years, I think crafty's appropriate.
I love aging wide receivers.
Well, how about Gerald Everett? Not quite aging, but an established vet in this league. How did he feel about his young quarterback?
Yeah, well, you know, he's 30, so that is veteran age for sure. I thought he had some really good stuff on Caleb. And the question that was asked to him is, have you figured out what Caleb Williams' leadership style is yet?
I have a sense of it. Can't put my finger on it just yet, but he's very vocal. And as he's still coming into his own as an NFL quarterback in his rookie year, but he's not shying away from it. You can tell he's building his confidence day by day.
Is it hard to tell when a quarterback has, I guess, what they call the it factor? Do you see that? And I mean, if you don't. But I mean, with a guy like Caleb, it's a big part of his game.
Of course.
Can you see indications of that? Is that evident?
For sure. He definitely has that it factor as a dual threat quarterback. He's not afraid to run, and he's definitely got the arm strength. So he's shown that from OTAs to now, even while he was trying to grasp the playbook. So to see his confidence build day in and day out is a sight to see.
When he does take off and look downfield, what are you learning about him in terms of how you need to get open, you know, beyond just kind of your basic scramble drills?
Well, I learned that from him last year, just catching a few of his games at SC, just keeping the play alive and keeping his eyes downfield. He's got great poise, and his pocket presence is phenomenal, and I don't see why it wouldn't translate to this level.
Oh, man, Gerald Everett, watching Caleb games at USC and bringing that scouting to his role as his teammate now. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, too. You know, Gerald Everett, for people who don't know, spent the last couple of years playing for the Chargers, so he's out in Los Angeles. So just like a lot of pro players and college players and football fans, he was the same way. He's like, okay, got to check out this Caleb Williams guy. Everybody's talking about him. But, you know, Everett is kind of big, tall guy. He's not as thick as a lot of tight ends. He's like the height stands out with him. He had 51 catches for 411 yards and 3 TDs. So he could be a nice piece in this offense as well. And obviously he and Cole Kmet can probably do some damage this year.
We're doing a Bears report here with Mark Grody. The Bears have a local tie-in to arguably the biggest story at the Olympics, Jonathan Owens, their new safety and special teamer, with Simone Biles.
Because we know that Flus respects Olympics.
That's right.
Go USA.
Yeah. Go USA.
Yeah.
But you guys got to talk to Jonathan Owens before Paris.
Yeah, we did, and it was our first time getting to talk about that. You know, his wife Simone Biles, and he's going to be going to Paris, France. But you know, some people have been wondering, like, is this appropriate that he is going? And he said that this was something that was worked when he came to the Bears. This was something that he discussed in terms of his contract. That I'm going to play here, but here's the thing: I got some built-in days off from my last job that I want to be able to carry over to this. And he said the Bears were great about about it. There was no pushback or anything at all whatsoever, and we obviously heard that from Matt Eberflus, as we were just discussing. The next question is, what about the teammates? Are they at all resentful that he's going to get to miss a couple days of practice? How do they react to the Olympics?
Man, it's crazy, man. Everyone, it's like everyone's a gymnastics fan now. You know, they're asking, people are asking me questions, just, you know, man, you know, because, you know, you walk around the building and you might see a commercial with her up there. And, you know, so it's just crazy. You know, guys are asking me, like, how is that? And we just, you know, there's a Netflix documentary out now where, you know, we're both in there. So guys are just being super supportive, man. It's super dope. And, you know, they're asking, like, bring some souvenirs back. That's what they're asking. Yeah, so.
Money for that?
Man, come on, man. They're my boys, man.
Is this your first time being able to see her in the Olympics?
Yes. So for the 20, well, it was in 2021, but, you know, COVID was going on. So I was in training camp still, but I was just, you know, wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning before I had to go to practice so that I can see her events and everything. So.
So this is his first chance to go there in person. And the detail that's interesting is that they worked it out way back when he was signing. That
yeah.
It was there in conversation, so no surprises here. He was already going to have to do this.
Yeah, this wasn't just something that popped up out of nowhere. You know, this is something that, like, when he came here, he said, this is what I want. The Bears complied. And so, yeah, it's a thumbs up for everybody. He's not going to miss much, and he is cognizant of all that. But it's Simone freaking Biles. So, I mean, I think everybody understands, and I've heard, like, zero pushback on it.
Yeah, I can't imagine why there would be. Do you agree with my theory that he's also not valuable enough to the Bears for it to matter? they wouldn't let Caleb Williams go.
Well, no, that's a good question. I was discussing this and kind of debating it with Molly and Haw the other day. Yeah, if it was, like, name any star. I mean, Caleb Williams, of course, that's the big one. Like, if it was Caleb, then
Roma Dunze.
Yeah, Roma Dunze. But you know what? Honestly, if it's Roma Dunze going to the Olympics, if it was his wife, I don't have an issue with it. I mean, this is like huge.
Do you think they
massive,
would have an issue with it?
I don't. I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that they would be cool with that. Caleb is probably a different story. My guess is if Caleb was married to Simone Biles, he probably wouldn't go.
This may seem out of left field, Grody, but what if Caleb committed arson or mail fraud?
Yeah, would you be okay with he was good?
Are you all right with Caleb committing arson?
Look, I'm a guy who's willing to look the other way. You know what I mean?
Bears.
If he's over there in the corner with his Zippo lighter and he's lighting things on fire, you know what?
Yeah, all right.
I might look the other way for the sake. Sure. This is the things I do for the fans.
That's what I'm saying.
I
mean?
Yeah.
Like one of the things, and I've had this conversation again today with somebody, and I keep having this conversation.
You guys talked about arson?
No. Didn't talk about arson
today.
Oh,
mail fraud.
Yeah, no. Neither of those. Caleb Williams has to work for the Chicago Bears. He has to be good. There's no alternative. You know what I mean? Like, I know that, like, Trubisky and Fields had to be good too, but not as much as Caleb Williams has to be good. So, yeah, that's always top of mind for me. Like, he has no choice but to be good.
Tell him that, would you, next time you guys hang out?
Why didn't I think of that? Be good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, be good, but he's got no choice. I don't know if he realizes the pressure that's on him, but there's no choice. This man has to be good.
Did what else from Jonathan Owens, if anything?
Yeah, there was one other thing that I thought was interesting that I was not aware of, but he was asked a question about a semi-recent podcast appearance he was on. He was on The Pivot. And he was asked to describe himself, he described himself as the catch in his relationship with Simone Biles, like saying, you know, like, you know, she's the star, she's the catch. But he kind of said that he caught some crap from a lot of Simone Biles fans on the old internet for that, to the point where Simone Biles even spoke up for Jonathan Owens. He was asked about that, and here's how he answered that question.
You know, at first it was kind of disappointing because you're just, you know, you're pouring your heart out to someone and just, you know, giving your opinions on how things happen in your life. And, you know, obviously she was in there,
But I don't have any of my social media notifications on, man. So you got to stay off that stuff because people will try to tear you down, man. That's just, you know, the social media world. You know, everyone has a voice. So she's just taught me how to do it. You know, you have to stay off of there and just know people are going to talk about you, man, whether you're doing good or bad. Like, that's just, you know, the reality of the profession that I'm in, the profession that she's in. So you just have to know how to, you know, tune out the noise, man, and just keep going. Because if you get into that stuff and you can allow it to affect your confidence, or, oh, I don't want to post anything because I'm afraid people are going to, man, I'm not going to worry about that, you know. I'm living my dream, man. So regardless, like, I'm happy. My wife's happy, man. So, you know, we really don't get into that too much, so.
Wow.
Good for him.
Good for him. Groats, thanks for playing this stuff. Like, I don't, yeah. I haven't really checked out Jonathan Owens as a story, as a media entity at all, but like, he sounds like a very healthy dude who's married to an incredibly strong woman who's been willing to be open about mental illness and everything like that, and is a great story in and of herself. I like him. I'm glad to hear him and get to know him a little bit. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I'm with you on that, Spiegs. And here's a little bit more, too, with the contract. I just think that this is pretty funny stuff. When asked by co-host Channing Crowder, quote, how in the hell he managed to pull the most decorated gymnast in history, Owens responded, quote, it's really how she pulled me, man. That's the question, close quote. And then really quickly, Owens went on to explain that he, quote, didn't know who Biles was when she reached out to him on the Raya dating app back in 2020.
Raya.
So, and that's all on the Pivot. Oh, Raya.
Wow.
That's all on the Pivot podcast.
How do you know how it's pronounced, Danny?
Yeah, it was interesting. I noticed that as well.
I've known people that have done Raya.
You have it?
Okay. No, I do not have it. I'm happily married.
Just noticed that.
Yeah.
That's all.
I just know what it is.
He's just familiar with the internet, Shane.
Am I wrong, Shane?
No, we said the same thing when Grody said Raya.
Yeah,
loser.
Interesting. Interesting.
I'm old school. I'm just a simple match.com boy. That's all, you know.
Do we have any
Maybe
delicious
Facebook?
Any delicious berries? Yeah, you just slide it into DMs, old school.
Yeah.
Do you have any delicious Bears nuggets today, sir?
Yes. Kyler Gordon mispracticed with what Matt Eberflus referred to as just tightness. Braxton Jones, that's it. He's tight. Braxton Jones practiced more today than he has really, in my eyes, all offseason and going back to the OTAs. It'll be interesting to see if Braxton Jones suits up tomorrow, because I don't know if he's had enough ramp up to put the pads on, but we'll see. Speaks ass, and I already said that Ryan Bates played center. And then this is interesting. You know, we're obviously asking a lot of questions about the Bears preseason opener, which is a week from today, Thursday night against Houston. And we're all wondering, like, is Caleb Williams going to actually get playing time? Because typically you don't see starters in this very early NFL game. And Matt Eberflus actually said that they've had, quote, lengthy conversations on potentially Caleb Williams and his playing time on Thursday in that Hall of Fame game. I just think it's interesting that they're actually, at least he's giving the indication that there is conversation about it, maybe even debate about it, when I didn't know if he would even play in that.
All right, so a week from tonight, let's declare, the three of us right here, I say Caleb does play a week from tonight in Canton.
I say, I mean, they normally don't play him.
I know.
They don't.
They normally don't.
But
just handoffs?
They want him to ramp up. They want him to ramp up. They got to hit the ground running. Then they can back off later on in camp, later on in the schedule. I'm a yes.
I'm a no.
I'm a yes, too. And just because, like, I was a no up until the very second I heard that from Matt Eberflus, and he could very well have just been redirecting us or not being totally and completely genuine in his answer. But the fact that he used lengthy conversations, it makes me feel like they're at least considering it, but he may be trying to throw us off the scent.
You got Bears getting into the Hall of Fame. You got Bears playing. You got Hard Knocks. It's a come-up offseason.
Well, they should not do it for those reasons.
I know, but it's going to be part of it. It's going to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, Flew says Hard Knocks going just dandy so far, that they're not getting in the way. And that's what the players are saying, too, that it has not been an issue. But they are out there. Trust me, man. I got to believe that there's some players, when they see that boom mic come up into their conversation, that they just zip it.
Have you noticed any media members playing to the microphone?
Not yet. I mean, I don't believe that – there's been there was a sign that said as we came into Hallis Hall today in terms of HBO Hard Knocks, kind of like their own little disclaimer, just paraphrasing. They basically said anything you say or do around these cameras could be part of the program. So basically saying that we're all open game for this, but it does not appear that any of the media members have been featured yet, and there hasn't been any sort of like confrontational back and forth with any of the players or the coaches. I think that's the only way that you're going to see, other than you'll probably see background shots of us, you know, unless there's some sort of contentious back and forth with one of the coaches or players or a good Q&A going on, then you probably aren't going to see much of us featured in Hard Knocks.
There's one. But who knows? There's one Bears reporter nicknamed after a character on Hoppy Days, Potsy.
Oh, yes.
Is an interesting man.
Yeah, I like that you went Happy Days.
Yeah, I didn't stick the landing on that, though. I really fell apart on that one. Because I really wanted to ask you this. Receiving stolen property for Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Would you
be okay with that?
You all right with that?
Good question.
Receiving stolen property?
Yeah,
Maybe I missed that.
We were thinking about Class C felonies that we would be okay with Caleb committing if he's good.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I already set the ground here. I mean, I am willing to look the other way. As a matter of fact, if it's something that he stole that he needs, I'll provide it for him.
Oh, you know what okay, I mean? Yeah.
Like, I have one dependent, and that's an animal. You know, that's a cat. So if Caleb needs something from me, I've got him covered. And, yes, I will watch over him.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. Way to get you on the record.
Bears.
Yeah, Bears. Thank you, Grody.
Gotcha. Yep.
All right, we'll talk to you guys.
Bye.
We'll talk tomorrow after the first padded practice. That's Mark Grody from Hallis Hall. Garrett Crochet's trying to use some leverage here, and Carter Hawkins is answering questions. Next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I know it's official that I'm a Cub now and I'm talking to Danny Parkins. You know what I mean?
Afternoons on The Score.
Yeah, I mean, so to be a jerk, we would love to have more good players than less good players.
Hawkins today with Mully and Haw.
Bad moment for the Cubs front office here.
You mean the interview or the state of the team?
The state of the team, having to talk about this.
Taking calls out of obligation.
Yes, absolutely. And trying to admit where you are with some honesty and transparency while also voicing what seems to be a genuine belief that they are a healthier organization than this year's big league record has shown, and trying to, you know, be reasonable with your interviewers. Thought Carter had a little bit of a begrudging edge to him this morning. Again, understandably.
Yeah. Opinion. So we'll work through this here. The question about Justin Steele.
Because before they even got to Steele, it had been answered like, you know, we'll talk about players. You know, be asked about Jameson Taillon, be asked about everything. And sell, you know, everybody's kind of open for conversation. But then did you hear the way that David asked the Steele question?
Yeah, we've got it right here for anyone who didn't.
Were you more amused or annoyed at the suggestion of Justin Steele getting traded or being part of trade conversation? He was asked about it. It has been out there. But as you said, not all the reports are credible. Just wondered what your reaction was to that suggestion.
Yeah, neither. I think it's the same thing that we're talking about, which is, you know, transactions are happening. Any opportunity you have to increase your side of the ledger, you should at least listen to. And, you know, that could be any player on your 26-man or 40-man or 180-man minor league roster. And so that's just the time of year. I mean, I would be surprised if not every single player that's providing any sort of major league value is not asked about over the course of the next week. It's just the nature of it. Some of those get in the media, some of those don't, but it just happens.
So David was hoping for it to be dismissed out of hand, and that is not what happened.
That is not what happened, and it shouldn't be dismissed out of hand. It shouldn't be. They're not going to trade Justin Steele, but it, generally speaking, it's not a good idea to give away any intel. Oh, they're not trading Justin Steele. Does that mean that they're not willing to listen on A, B, or C player? Like, so these guys are just, they protect these secrets, man.
So you think it's just him doing that?
Yeah, because who's untouched? There's nothing that could be offered that would get you to trade Justin Steele? Of course there is.
I mean, Bernsey flat out asked me the other day, Jackson Holliday for Justin Steele, and I was a no. I mean, it's like, I and maybe.
But Bobby Witt, you were a yes.
Well, sure.
Okay,
yes.
So
yeah,
he's not untradeable. Okay. You know, like that's how these guys operate. They are, who is actually untradeable? That there is nothing that you could give up where that the other team would say yes. Patrick Mahomes. There's very, you know, it's not Bobby Witt. You know, young cheap superstar.
Yeah.
I know they paid him, but like, you know, it's. There's not much that you could do.
There are Jameson Taillon trade rumors flying around like crazy today. Our own Bruce Levine put it out there this past Saturday. Then Bob Nightingale wrote Red Sox and Yankees for Jameson Taillon. And then earlier today, Bruce reported that the Orioles have asked about Jameson Taillon. We know they're chasing down a starter. And just moments ago, The Athletic and their Houston Astros writer, Chandler Rome, along with Ken Rosenthal and Patrick Mooney, say that the Astros have asked about Jameson Taillon. That's a team with six starting pitchers on the injured list. Astros have six starting pitchers on the injured list. They're probably losing Justin Verlander since he's not going to hit his incentive threshold to kick in next year. So Jameson Taillon at 18 mil for this year and next could be appetizing to the Astros. So, boy, that's a lot of smoke around Jameson Taillon right now.
It is.
I bet he goes. I bet Jameson Taillon goes. I mean, like, it's just a lot. It's a lot of smoke.
He's pitching well. He's affordable. It's multiple years of control.
Yep.
The Cubs probably feel like there you have a small surplus of starting pitching.
And
like if they have Steele and they have Assad and they have Shota and they like Ben Brown and Cade Horton.
And this will be yes to all of that. And this is maybe the easiest path to free up $20 million to go out and get yourself a home run hitter in the offseason as well. It depending on what else you also do. You know, Neris on the hook for $9 million next year if you can get his deal.
Wasn't
off
he just a 1 year deal?
Was he 1 year at nine?
Yeah, no. Yeah, Neris was one at nine.
Oh, there's if he pitches 60 games, it kicks in for next year, and he's and he's at 39.
Well, you gotta shut him down. I mean, that can't happen. I didn't know that that was a thing. I remember one for nine. I did not know that there was.
I think it's a sixty.
Well, that can't happen. They're not going to allow that to happen. That's a 0%er, buddy.
They asked.
If that's what it is, that's a 0%er. I'll give you that one right now.
They asked Carter about it. Yeah, the 2025 option at another $9 million kicks in with 60 appearances this year, or 45 games finished this year.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Yeah. I can tell.
Oh, and some other things. Go
Council's
on
obviously going to go away from him. That's not.
That's a good take.
Thank you. Thank you. Want to hear Carter address Jed Hoyer's remarks?
Sure.
Let's do
yeah,
it.
And I would take one step back on, you know, some of Jed's comments last week. You know, I think what he was saying was we're not going to do anything that only helps 24. So, you know, it's not just looking towards 25. It's just trying to figure out how do we do things that don't only help 24 just with the position that we're in. With regards to Kyle, I mean, Kyle obviously is an absolute stalwart of the rotation and of this club and represents so many unbelievable things about the Cubs. And you know, I think we're always going to have the opportunity for starting pitcher innings. I think any club does, and we're ecstatic that he has been able to throw the ball the way that he has the last few weeks, and it's just been an unbelievable thing to watch him, you know, fight through some adversity here over the course of the year at this point in his career and do it the way that he did it. And it's, you know, I'll stop short of saying it's inspiring, but it's pretty cool to see. And, you know, he'll be a big part of the next couple months for sure.
That's the thing. Everybody can't be a prospect. You know, everybody can't be a piece of the long-term future. There's too many games and there's too many innings, and service time is a thing. They're not going to just pitch a double-A pitcher over Kyle Hendricks.
The rest of the way?
Yeah. That's just not how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
They're only going to do it if that they actually feel like that prospect is ready, because there's examples of big league experience hurting guys if they're not ready. So I don't think that that's much of a concern.
Part of my feeling that Tyone is going to get dealt is dictated in part by this Garrett Crochet news, where he's trying to do like the Montez Sweat thing. He's trying to do the thing that we see in the NBA a lot, and we see sometimes in baseball, but it's usually in the offseason. He says he wants a contract extension, but in order to guarantee to a new team that he's going to pitch in October.
The idea,
or to be a reliever as well, like
just a pitch period in October,
yeah, and to be a reliever at all, because he's convinced he's healthier because he's a starter, not a reliever, because of the routine, and that's a common thought. So I get it. So he wants to stay healthy, so he doesn't want to say yes to being a reliever, and doesn't want to say yes to even pitching as a starter into October without a contract extension. So he's trying to hold the market hostage here at the deadline in MLB. That is a very rare thing. Tyler Glasnow did something like it in the offseason when he was with the Rays. So the Dodgers immediately signed him to a deal, but that's the offseason.
He also had accomplished a hell of a lot more than Crochet had at
absolutely.
The time. I mean, imagine Chris Getz trades Garrett Crochet to Philly, and he goes, I won't pitch for you in October. How do you think that goes over?
Not well.
that would be a disaster move for him.
Yeah.
In terms of court of public opinion.
Oh, like, Getz does that?
No. If Crochet does it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going
to. If Crochet goes to a market like Philadelphia with World Series aspirations and says, congratulations, thank you very much for trading for me, I will not pitch for you in October.
But you thought it was the right thing for Montez Sweat to do last year, did you?
Football contracts not guaranteed. Injury rate much higher. It's a different thing.
Pitcher injury rate's pretty high.
Garrett Crochet hasn't made the generational money yet.
Yeah.
But try. But that's one of those bluffs that teams just call. What are you going to be insubordinate? You really going to look your teammates in the eye and not play in October?
Man, he's threatening to. If he's threatening to, that is trying to use some leverage that usually does not exist at an MLB trade deadline. That's heavy.
I bet he's doing it just to get the extension. Like, behind the scenes, he's probably saying, if you give me the extension, I'll pitch.
For the White Sox, you mean?
No, for the team that he's being traded
to.
For
sure.
That's the reporting.
Right. For sure.
Is that he will...
Like, he won't go to the bullpen. He's saying, no, I'm not going to the bullpen. I'm your starter regardless. Yeah. That's all he's doing. He's doing it so he gets the extension.
I'll be your starter, and I will pitch. I don't want to be your bullpen piece. Will pitch, but you got to give me the extension. But I mean,
but that takes some teams out of the running to trade for him.
Absolutely,
it's okay. I don't want him gone anyway.
Well, no.
Go ahead, make more demands, buddy.
but if you're the Orioles, you're not gonna do that because you're trying to. If you're Mike Elias, you want to take advantage of the 2 years of cheap money.
Yeah.
You know? By the way, Mason Miller punched a table. The 103 mile an hour reliever for the Oakland A's, he punched a table with his left hand in frustration and broke his pinky. He's on the injured list.
A padded table.
It was
a padded trainer's table. Fractured his pinky.
Oh my God. And so
his pitching hand?
No. His other hand.
Okay.
But still on the injured list.
Makes it a little less dumb.
He should not be on the injured list.
Same left hand also for Colton Brewer of the Cubs, who punched the dugout.
Yeah.
So these guys are like, oh, I'll do it with my left hand. And then they're still on the injured list still embarrassed.
Shane plays softball with many broken fingers.
Yeah, true.
So
Built different.
So what you got, Mason?
Natural athlete.
Yeah.
We'll put a bow on this thing. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the score.
No, they didn't do anything wrong.
They did. I think the rain kind of maybe messed up the brooms. I texted Parkins yesterday. I was like, hey, did it rain at all while you guys were at Wrigley? And he's like, No, it didn't rain. As soon as I got in my car, then it started to pour.
Is that how my texts sound?
Apparently, tone issues is not just a verbal thing.
Yeah, I guess. It's true, man.
I mean, you do talk a lot, so it's natural to read your texts in your voice.
I get it. Yeah, that was, we were supposed to be on the field. They said be in the booth because it's going to rain. Then it never rained. And then my whole drive home north, it rained. And then the game was in a rain delay.
You let Ryan Porth make a decision. And that's where we're at. That's two straight times we let Ryan make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't get struck by lightning the first time.
No, I wish we would have.
Yeah, exactly. We'd put an end to this whole thing.
Whoa.
And then, the rain.
Shane, did you solve your passport problem that came up earlier in the show?
I'm so glad you guys let me do that segment because not only am I stress-free, but as is my girlfriend, there are a couple listeners that happen to do a job very similar where they're going to be able to get me an appointment at the passport office.
That's delightful.
Look at you.
How about that?
That is...
I say it always, and I say it loud and proud. I love our listeners, single one of them.
The best. Every single one.
Every single one.
It's why you love opening the phone lines, talking to people.
They've been open all show, by the way.
Hey, good job.
Except for like the last two segments. When Grody came on, I closed them.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
By the way, Mason Miller did not pound the table out of frustration.
What did he do?
He put his hand down awkwardly on the training table while getting ready to do an exercise.
Really?
It was still padded.
Yes.
He didn't punch the table?
No. Martin Gallegos, the beat reporter, is clarifying the report.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was a pretty good second baseman for La Russa back in the day, Mike Gallego.
Well, just letting you know.
Okay. All right, good.
He didn't do that.
All right, so he doesn't join that stupid club.
No.
The Colton Brewer, Kyle Farnsworth, Gus Frerotte club.
Yeah. That Gus Frerotte highlight.
But his was a celebration,
it was
right?
A celebration in a helmet against a padded wall on the back of an end zone. Like, the wall behind the end zone.
He ran for a touchdown.
Yes, and then he headbutted the wall.
The celebration!
And gave himself a stinger or sprained neck or whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. Sosa sneezing in the hot tub.
Yeah, but the frustration, the bringing it on yourself. Craig Council just said to us the other day that
the wall's undefeated.
Wall's undefeated. Doesn't work.
Yeah, does not work.
Dugout wall does not work.
Doesn't see results. Yeah. Ever.
He was right. Tomorrow, Bears and Pads, baby.
Bears and Pads tomorrow. That's exciting. And so we got two people that are going to be on this show that are going to be there. Mark Grody doing a Bears report at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Why is he going to be at 4 and not 5? Because Dave Wanstead's going. And I was talking to Wani about it. He's like, I tell Floos when I'm going to be there, and then they let me on the field, and then I talk to anybody, and then I get in the drills.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to be roaming around talking to people and just going places where he's not really supposed to go.
So he's doing something earlier in the day at Bears practice, and then he's not busy, so he'll join you later.
That's right. That's exactly
right.
That's
awesome.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
Amazing.
Yeah, so he'll be available in the afternoon to tell us about going behind the ropes at Hallis Hall on tomorrow's show at 5 o'clock.
AJ Pruszynski was real good today, folks.
He was real good today. Mark Grody was good as well. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell and Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, international man of mystery, with a passport coming soon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill, making us sound better than we are each and every day. Enjoy your day tomorrow, sir.
Thank you, sir.
For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Wasn't enjoyable in really any way, but I can sit here now and say I got a lot out of it. I learned kind of what doesn't work.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.